This is Don Bell reporting from Tokyo. The votes in Japan's biggest, freest, and most important election are not yet counted, but it is already safe to anticipate that the next Prime Minister of Japan is very likely to be Liberal leader Hatoyama. True enough, he wrote a book in which he praised Hitler, Mussolini, and their methods. He wrote that Chiang Kai-shek could never unite China, and most American correspondents, your mutual correspondent included, don't favor him. But whether the Japanese people do or do not like Hatoyama, they today indicated that they do like his party and what it stands for. And as leader of the winning party, Hatoyama is heir apparent as leader of Japan, unless General MacArthur says no. From all indications, today's elections in Japan ran exactly as predicted. The largest vote in history, a surprisingly large number of women voting, and the liberal and progressive parties running away with the election, the Social Democrats running a weak third, the Communist Party even weaker. But the surprises in today's election were the number of people voting and the number of women voting. Polls opened at 7 o'clock in the morning, closed at 6 in the evening. All of the polling places which I was able to check showed that of the qualified voters registered, more than 80% had voted. In Soka, a small industrial village outside Tokyo, 1,200 women had voted, 800 men. In Gano, a farming village, 840 women and only 708 men had voted. So it appeared that only in the cities would the men's vote exceed the women's. And there, not excessively. For example, in Hongo Ward in Tokyo, which I checked at 2 o'clock, at which time 50% of all qualified voters had already voted, the recorders had counted 2,600 men, 1,900 women. Of course, not all of those women voters are going to be counted, because many of the women, having forgotten how or never knowing how to write, couldn't write their candidates' names properly, and those votes will be thrown out. In smaller communities, election officials solved this difficulty by helping the illiterate women. The official asked whom the voter wished to vote for, then wrote the name in the ballot for her. Not orthodox balloting, perhaps, but the emperor requested a large vote. I interviewed many of these women voters, and here's a sample interview. I asked a lady her age. She blushed, asked me to guess. I guessed 65, but silently. There were five voters in her family, herself, two sons, and two daughters. The husband had died during the war. I didn't ask her how. But I did ask her if the family had all voted the same ticket. She didn't know. I asked her how she had voted. She replied openly, for the Progressive Party. Why? Well, because that was the way her husband had voted before the war. Then I asked her if she and her children had had any discussions about politics before voting. Yes, they had all agreed that they did not like the Communist Party and had agreed not to vote for a communist. When asked how she enjoyed the privilege of voting for the first time, she replied that she hoped the women's vote would be instrumental in helping select the right man as leader of Japan. There had been too many bad leaders in the past. Kentaro Yamamoto, another voter, offered a statement on his own. He was surprised and pleased that the police at the voting place were so very nice and polite to him. This was a new experience. He hoped this meant democracy is coming to Japan. But whatever the outcome of the election today, there is every indication that it was a free election. There was no violence reported. It has produced neither an extreme rightist nor an extreme leftist government. It appears that the middle of the road in politics is the desire of the people of Japan today. And the middle of the road is not dangerous to our occupation policy. This is Don Bell reporting from Tokyo. I now return you to Mutual in the United States.